The Bible says all creation travails and groans for the revelation, the manifestation of the sons of God, for the people of God to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven, make things right. The Bible tells us that creation was spoken into existence. This was spoken into existence by the word of the Lord. How many are grateful Jesus spoke it into existence? What a great God. It testifies to His goodness, to His power, to His glory. Thank you, Dan, by the way, and Roxanne. I really appreciate your hard work on it. I've asked him to link that on our website. And if you have someone that's wondering, is God real, doubting that God knows them or exists, it's hard to take a look at something like that and think that this was just random oozing from somewhere. But God is indeed a God of creation, a God who knows exactly what He's doing. How many believe God knows exactly what He's doing? So therefore, my question to you this morning, one of many I'm sure, is if He knows exactly what He's doing as He established creation, do we think that He will take a lackadaisical or willy-nilly approach to how things finish up? Do we think that the difficulties we see all around us take Him by surprise? Do they? How many know that God's in charge? We've got every reason to celebrate. How many know God loves you? Turn to each other and say, God loves you. Celebrate. Party hardy. That's right. Cake during church. Would you turn to Leviticus, please? Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus. Chapter 23. Matthew, Mark, Leviticus. No. And of course, it's in the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter 23. We have been speaking lately about knowing the signs of the times and be ready. Be ready. Pastor Carl's message. Knowing further about the signs of the time. And today, as we take a look, I'm beginning a series called The Feasts of the Lord. The Feasts of the Lord. But as we take a look at end time events, sometimes it's easy to become, fearful or discouraged or concerned. What's going to happen? And I don't know what's going to happen. And what do I need to do? A God so vast in His creation, so loving, so merciful to send Jesus. A creative God who developed math. Math's called what? The most exact science, right? If He knew how to do that, He's not going to be casual and indifferent toward you and me as life wraps up. So these days is not about fear. It's about being ready. It's about having our hearts ready and walking with God. He's left us with clues and understandings about how to find our way on this journey. How many believe the best clues are found in the Bible? So we're Bible readers and we're Bible studiers and we're lovers of the Word of God. And we try to take a look at it. The Bible says it's an honor for kings to search out the truths. And so we need to study and dig in and look to the Word. And as we look at all these things over these last several weeks and over the next several weeks, we're not trying to predict dates, but we are saying, be ready. Amen. Be ready, church. We seem to be watching history unfold right in front of our eyes and really moving at a breakneck speed toward the fulfillment of biblical prophecy and the wrapping up of this present age. Wars and rumors of wars, floods and earthquakes and disasters. Rapid fire gaining of knowledge and travel. And if you go to the prophecy in the book of Daniel, it says the last days will be marked by a mushrooming cloud or a fomenting ever exponential growth in knowledge and travel. Well, what do you think is happening? Stephen, you work in computers. How much do we know more than we did just even 10 years ago? Exponential. Hundreds and hundreds of percents full of. So it's just growing like crazy. But in the midst of it all, we sometimes become fearful and we forget the simple little song, and you know it with me, says, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Pat, let's go to some scriptures and let me go through some with you this morning as we take a look at the Feast of the Lord, part one. 1 John chapter 4 and the second half of chapter 4 tells us God is, say it with me please. Say it one more time. Really boom it out. God is love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. 2 Peter 3, verse 9. I'm going to do that one out of several versions. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but He is, say it please, long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the heart of God. We know that's not going to happen fully, but we know there's God's heart. How many are glad God's given extra time for you and me to come in? Absolutely. Out of the message, God isn't late with His promise, as some measure lateness. He is restraining Himself on account of you, holding back the end because He doesn't want anyone lost. He's giving everyone space and time to change. The new living. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. But men and women make choice, either for God or away from God. I urge us, church, I urge us, be mobilized, be more sensitive than ever to sharing Jesus with friends and families and acquaintances, people on the job, people on the street, wherever you are, believe and follow the promptings of the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit to open up hearts and eyes and ears and hunger, but we also need to be obedient to step into the opportunities the Lord has given us. Let's be ready to share and to give a good reason for the hope that lies within us. Is there a rapture of the church? Is there a removal of the unbelievers instead of that? Is 2012 the end? Or is 2012 the rapture? Listen, church, one thing I know. Every generation needs a fresh move of the Spirit of God and a revival of God in their midst. Every generation needs a moving of the Holy Spirit. Come on, say amen, somebody. And I am crying out to God, pour out Your Spirit. Pour out revival, O God. Here on the Olympic Peninsula, in every community, whoever you use, thank God that man got saved. Praise God. We're looking for opportunities for people to come pouring into the presence of God and saved. Redeemed by the presence of God and the blood of the Lamb. How many are glad for the blood of Jesus? Saved by grace through faith in Him alone. But every generation needs the Spirit of the Lord. Our kids, the few that we have in here, need to be radically moved on by the Spirit of God. Do you realize one of the most powerful things happening in this hour is the generation of the kids that are even here in this room? And the Spirit of God is being poured out on them, and they are full of fire to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. We got a whole lot of kids in this area who need to get saved. Of course, you know, we got a whole lot of old folks in this area who need to get saved. Some are suggesting God's calendar indicates a major event coinciding with the Feast of Trumpets, September 28 and 29. Could be. I tell you what, I'm wrong as a pastor if I don't allow us to bring it up, talk about it, and at least be ready. Even if something doesn't happen on the 28th and 29th, like we said a week or two ago, well, we're closer to Jesus then. I want to be closer to Jesus on the 28th and 29th than I was on the 27th. And I want to be closer on the 31st. Is there 31 days in September? I want to be closer on the 31 days of the month. On those months that have them. September's 30, right? Yeah. What is it? January, February? Anyway. I do know the calling of God is to be ready. Over the next several weeks, I want to bring some perspective on what the feasts is all about, are all about. And they're not just Old Testament, and they're not just Jewish feasts. The Bible calls them the feasts of the Lord. Some claim legalistically, even as Christians today, we better be following those feasts or we're going to miss the blessing of God. We better be lockstep. I'm not saying that either. I believe in being a preparationist, preparing our hearts, being ready. So no matter what happens, you're in the right group then. Okay? No matter what happens. Church, if it's going to go this way, if it's going to go this way, all I know is I want to be in Him and go His way. Feasts are God's idea. Let's go to some scriptures. Leviticus chapter 23. You should be there. Leviticus 23. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. Outlining some of the beginnings comments on feasts here. This is an overall perspective this morning. Leviticus 23 verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. Say it with me, please. These are my feasts. Exodus 23, 14 through 17. Exodus 23, 14 through 17. Three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month Abib. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. Say that phrase with me. None shall appear before me empty. How many of you know when you come to church you need to show up? Not just in body, but in heart, soul, mind, and spirit, ready to hear, ready to respond, ready to jump into the river of God. Did you come to church this morning ready to jump in? God, no matter what you're doing this morning, I want to be a part of it, and I want to help bring it, and I'm going to be in it. Amen. Whatever you're doing, Lord, I want to be alive in the Spirit of God. It's more than just drifting through or bodies showing up. It's being alive in the Spirit of God. Don't be empty-handed. Bringing your tithes and offerings into the house of God. We don't take up an offering over here. We have boxes over there. But that's up to you as worshipers to respond in obedience to God. I don't have a big message on tithing this morning. How would you'd like for me to do that? Bring a message on tithing. I didn't see a hand in the place. If I don't teach on tithing, you're not blessed. I've taught on tithing. But we don't make a weekly deal out of tithing here. We give as an act of obedience and worship to the Lord. But don't come empty-handed, empty-headed, empty-hearted to God. And the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field. And the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. Three times in the year, all your males shall appear before the Lord God. Now that referred to the headship of the family, the authority structure being in alignment with the authority of God, presenting themselves. But notice, I want to ask you a question. Who called for the feast? Who called for the celebration? Who sent out the invites to the party? Come on, turn to each other and say, God wants us to party with Him. Now, the basic word for feast includes the idea of a pilgrimage and can aptly be translated pilgrim feast. Another word for it, especially for feast in the Hebrew, is the word moed, moed, or moed. And it's a meaning, an appointed meeting, a set time. It occurs in the plural form four times in Leviticus 23. Each time it's translated as appointed feasts. Moed is properly, as you see the Hebrew up there in definition, an appointment, a fixed time or season, especially a festival, conventionally a year by implication, an assembly, technically the congregation, a place of meeting. Also, watch this. A signal. The feasts are a signal appointed beforehand by God. That's important. What is this all about? God had business to do with His people. God wanted His family to gather together during Passover. Listen, during Passover, the historian Josephus says Jerusalem, at the particular time he was writing, was 600,000 people. During Passover, Jerusalem would swell to 2.5 million people as they gathered together. Now, how do they know that? They know that because the Passover lamb was figured, and their figuring in Jewish and history, was figured 10 people to a Passover lamb. And they slaughtered or slayed 250,000 Passover lambs. 2.5 million people coming together to celebrate, to hear from God, to rejoice in the presence of the Lord. There were times of great rejoicing, and they were glad and joyful times. And yeah, there were fast days, but they were to be times where they just plain celebrated before God of His goodness to them. God was the host. Israel were His guests. So He set the time. He set the place. He set the sacrifices involved. He's the one who set all this up. This isn't just the Jewish feasts. These are the feasts of the Lord. So therefore, there's something we can hold on to and learn from them. Times of great rejoicing with His people who were redeemed out of Egypt. Did I put the chart up there? There. Let's look at one of the feasts then. Now, there are three main feasts, but they break down into seven things. The spring feasts. Feast of Passover. Say them with me, would you please? Feast of Unleavened Bread. Feast of First Fruits. Feast of Pentecost. Those were the spring feasts. Then come the fall feasts. Feast of Trumpets. Feast of Atonement. Feast of Tabernacles. Now the Feast of Passover was fulfilled in Jesus' death. I want to give you a definition to the words for feasts and convocations, because that's one of the other words. Literally, one of the definitions means dress rehearsal. Dress rehearsal. How many have ever been in a play? All right. How many ever played in a band or did some singing, an assembly? How many ever got married? I better be seeing a whole bunch of hands here. All right. Did you do a rehearsal? Sure. Did you have a dress rehearsal? On many of those occasions, you did. Why? Because it's important that you know where to stand and you know how to be dressed and you know what's expected of you and you know what to do. Dress rehearsal. For thousands of years, Israel carried out, even by the definition of the Hebrew word, dress rehearsals for what God was going to fulfill in His Son Jesus. Absolutely rich and powerful. Dress rehearsal, fulfillment in Jesus. All right, so there's an important definition. Feast of Passover, the death of Jesus. Feast of Unleavened Bread, you have Jesus' burial. Feast of First Fruits, you have Jesus' resurrection. Right? You have Feast of Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit comes. So the first four up there, the fall feast, or the spring feast rather, were already fulfilled in Jesus. Say, fulfilled in Jesus. Now the fall feast, we come through this age of the Gentiles, if you will, where the multitudes are getting saved and God's having mercy and giving us a length of time. But then there are feasts to come. And in September, there are Feasts of Trumpets, which represents Jesus' coming being announced. The trumpets and the fanfare. Every celebration, there were trumpets that sounded. So we have the Feast of Trumpets, where they would blow the trumpets prior to any special event, and the Feast of Trumpets announcing Jesus' return, His coming. The Feast of Atonement, of course, a time of fasting and making things right with God in your life. Jesus cleansing His bride. And then you have the Feast of Tabernacles, where Jesus appearing. All right. Passover. Passover was kept in the first month of the sacred year. Pentecost, so that was the first month of their year. Pentecost was the third month of their year. And Tabernacles was the seventh month in the year. I love it. God built in lots of celebration through that year. He wanted people together. And how many know if you had to make a trip to Jerusalem, it didn't give you too long in between to be a bad sinner? God wants us coming to church and into the house of the Lord where we strengthen each other, we encourage each other, we keep running after God together. Look at each other and say, help me walk straight, will you? Passover and Pentecost were seasons of rain and harvest. Tabernacle was also a season of rain and harvest, but it was fruit harvest. And Passover and Pentecost were corn harvest. They were joyful seasons. They were times of great rejoicing. In the New Testament, we find the fulfilling of these feasts. And though in the Old Testament, no Gentile could enter in unless they had become a proselyte of the Hebrew religion. Now in Jesus, thank God we're cleaned by the blood of Jesus and we can come boldly to the throne of grace into His house. That's good news, isn't it? God wants to be with His people. What's His name? Emmanuel, meaning God with us. He's the one who wants us to gather. He's the one who wants us to come together. Don't you ever let anybody put on you, church is no big deal. I don't need to go to church. It's not important. Church has the heart of God. And the heart of God is His people need to come together and celebrate and encourage each other in the Lord. Someone say amen. Amen. Say, preach it, Pastor Cap.
Preach it, Pastor Cap.
Preach it, man, in whatever shade of green you're wearing. Preach it. No, but God wants us to celebrate and encourage each other and bless each other. It's important. Coming to church is important. It's deception loosed in our land with a lack of a spirit of commitment. There is no commitment anymore, not to each other in marriage and certainly not to church. We don't need church. Better wear an umbrella, honey. I'm sorry. We don't need commitment. Yes, we do need commitment. We need each other in our families. We need each other in the house of God. It is not casual to God. Jesus says, the only thing that carpenter says he's going to build is, I will build my church. Now you could say all day long to me, Pastor Kev, two or three gathered together. That's church. That's right. But how many know God's interested in a lot more than just two or three gathering together? You've got gifts I need. I hopefully have some you need. And together we become conformed to His image and run after God. And the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Anybody think any tough days approaching? Anybody think we're maybe living in the last days? Come on, how many think going to church is important? That was just free. Didn't even have it in my notes. It's on the heart of God. No teleprompter. No, I believe it fully. It's just crucial to the heart of God. We see that Jesus clearly fulfilled His first four in His ministry here, and He's returning to fulfill the fall feast yet. We're in season, and between the church has got to be doing its part to reach out with His truth, sharing the gospel with each other. All right, now let me talk briefly about two calendars. Actually, I'm going to talk about three. Say, Pastor Kev, don't you know the numbers? Two or three? All right, it used to be two calendars. The Jewish calendar and the Julian calendar, developed by Julius Caesar, that straightened a lot of questions out and tried. But later, in the 1500s, Pope Gregory XIII developed the Gregorian calendar. Much of the world went with the Gregorian calendar, and in the mid-20th century, even more went with the Gregorian calendar. But we don't know how to properly interpret the Scriptures if we don't realize the Hebrew mind and heart with the Jewish calendar. So we have to be willing to go, all right, what's in their heart and mind as they were obeying the Lord? Genesis 1, verse 14. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night. Let them be for, say it with me please, signs and seasons for days and years. We understand, church, the sun and the moon and the stars and days and years. But we don't fully understand what's meant by the signs and seasons. Get a load of this. This is really cool. Get a load of this in the Hebrew. The Hebrew word oath, easy, say it with me, oath, means in the sense of appearing, a signal, as a flag, a beacon, a monument, an omen, prodigy, evidence. God is saying, I want you to walk through these feasts and my calendar. They're like a sign and a beacon and a signal to something I'm doing. How many know that Israel was ordained to be the nation that showed the presence of God to the world? The whole world was supposed to see the presence of God. How many know that didn't fully happen? So thank God for Jesus coming. But a sign, a signal, all right? Now God's telling us then there are seasons. Back to the word Moed. Again, Moed, a signal, festival, an appointment, an assembly. So God has set the feast appointments as a sign. Convocation, again, convocation. In both biblical and modern Hebrew, the word for appointed time is mo'ed, and interestingly, it conveys the sense of dress rehearsal. So the feasts of Adonai are dress rehearsals for the messianic redemption. Isn't that cool? How'd the dress rehearsal play out? Stunningly. Let me just share a few things with you this morning. This is really cool. And I hope we really enjoy going through these over the next several weeks. But it stunningly played out. Let me provide just a few thoughts. Today, backdrop for the feasts. As we see the biblical calendar events unfold, we need to not be surprised, but be understanding. Let's just talk about Passover briefly. Jews had been celebrating the Passover for thousands of years. And it was the dress rehearsal for the real deal in Jesus when he came. Again, when a wedding occurs, normally there's a rehearsal. Dress rehearsal fulfilled. Dress rehearsal fulfilled, Pat, on the next phase. Allow me to provide a couple of thoughts of how this happened. Numbers chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. Let the children of Israel keep the Passover at its appointed time, he instructed. On the 14th day of this month at twilight, you shall keep it at its appointed time. According to all its rites and ceremonies, you shall keep it. Exodus 12:15 out of the New King James. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you'll remove leaven from your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. Guys, this is really cool. This is really exciting to me. Exodus chapter 13, verse 7. In the radio business, we used to call that a teaser. This is really cool, just coming up after this next commercial. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. Now, let me tell you what they did. As families, they fastidiously labored at scraping out any flake of leaven that was in their house. I mean, they would take instruments and they would scrape between floorboards, wood floorboards, or whatever, just to get rid of anything that had anything to do with leaven. But they also wanted to make it fun for their families. How many people in here ever wanted to have fun with your kids so they didn't hate you? Sure. So what would they do on this special feast? They would teach their kids. Dad would go around with the kids and he'd have a candle. They didn't have flashlights in those days, so he had a candle. Had a wooden spoon. And he had a feather. And Mom, after cleaning up all the leaven, would leave just a little bit of leaven over by her cooking area for them to find. So Dad would take the kids all through the house and look for leaven and couldn't find it. And all of a sudden, the big find. Dad would take the feather and he'd push that leaven over into the wooden spoon. They'd wrap that leaven up into a linen bag or garment. They'd take that leaven together. Now remember, all the families were doing this. And they would put that last bit of leaven into a little bonfire that every house would bring together. The candle, our scripture tells us, is the Word of God. The wooden spoon, the cross upon which Jesus was impaled. The feather, representing the Holy Spirit. How many are glad the Holy Spirit helps discover sin in our life and help us get rid of it? Get rid of the leaven, representing pride or sin in our lives. Now, let me give you something. Maybe you all know that, all this next point, but I think it'll help you remember its purpose for the rest of our lives. Watch it fulfilled. John chapter 2, 13 through 16. Now the Passover of the Jews was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem, and he found in the temple those who sold oxen and sheep and doves. You all remember the story? And the money changers doing business. You remember where we are? When he had made a whip of cords, he drove them all out of the temple with the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money, overturned the tables, and he said to those who sold doves, take these things away. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. You know what was happening? Jesus was helping his dad clear the leaven out of the house. This was, look at the timing, Passover, the time to get rid of the leaven. And Jesus is fulfilling it by helping dad get the leaven out of their house. I think that's one of the neatest understandings of that story that'll hopefully make that alive and more vivid than it even is the rest of our days. Let's go on. I'm going to wrap this up. Mark and John. They cry out when Jesus comes into Jerusalem. They cry out, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." And they sing it to Jesus as he makes his triumphant entry. You all remember the spot. At the time, the same time, you guys, that they're singing this to Jesus, at the same time, they are singing this song as they take the Passover lamb into the temple. And the priests are furious because they're singing it to Jesus. But the dress rehearsal had its fulfillment. Next, what takes place is the 4 days. Remember, how long were they supposed to investigate the lamb? Had to be pure, spotless, and blameless, right? Perfect lamb. How long did they investigate? Okay. And so Jesus enters into a time where they begin to test him. Remember? They wanted to trip him, catch him in his words. And the Pharisees and Sadducees begin to deal with him. And so what happens? The lamb is being inspected. And what do they finally say? I find, Pilate says, no fault in him. The Passover lamb is fulfilled in Jesus. On the very day the Passover lamb was slain, Jesus was crucified and slain on the cross. The same time frame. At the very time the lamb was taken to the altar, Jesus was crucified. How many think that was probably a coincidence? And when the priest completed his duty with the Passover lamb, the priest always finished the whole process by saying, "It is finished." And of course, the final sacrifice for sin said the same thing. All right. Over the next several weeks, we're going to take some time to examine this, but we need to see, first, the dress rehearsals are what these are all about. The spring feasts were the dress rehearsals for the Messiah's first coming. And the fall feasts are the dress rehearsals for his return. Pastor Kevin, what is all this? The most important thing for you to know is to be right with God. The most important thing for you to know is not the details of the feasts, if they get confusing to you, but to understand there's application to our lives, and God wants us ready. Amen. Are you ready?
Yes.
Turn to each other and say, "Please, be ready." Let's stand. Let's stand before the Lord. Be ready and be in great relationship with Jesus. Father, we thank you that you are great, you are our fantastic God, and you don't do anything by accident. So we know that it's not going to be willy-nilly as life wraps up as we know it, because it certainly wasn't in your creation. We know you. And Lord, most of all this morning, we thank you that you've called us to the feast. You've bidden us to come. You want us at your celebration. Hallelujah! You know, Kim Kardashian, you all know Kim Kardashian just got married, right? $20 million on her wedding. She ended up getting married in a place that was smaller than she thought. She sent out too many invitations. There's a big controversy now because she had to de-invite some folks. People don't like to be de-invited, right? How many are glad Jesus isn't handing out any de-invitation slips? But that we're here based on his bidding. Lord, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your blood, and the celebration of Jesus. We rejoice in you. And thanks, Lord, also for bringing Larson's home, not just for this celebration, but bringing them all home safely. Amen. We rejoice in this time together in Jesus' name. And they all said,
Amen. Amen.